Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Dear friends of Christ, I love those words. You know, matter of fact, I think that those words, they tell us about the future. They tell us about what's going to happen in eternity. And encourage us, don't get all caught up in this world. Don't get all caught up in everything happening here, in all the difficulties of the world. Why? Paul tells us, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, these words literally should be put on our foreheads, put in front of us all the time, so that we're reminded of them. I think we should take them and put them in a frame and put them in our house, put them on the wall, so that when suffering and pain happen, there it is, and we're reminded. We should be wearing t-shirts that proudly proclaim as a daily reminder, the sufferings of this present world are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, when we have a funeral, those words should be displayed clearly. Those words should ring in our ears every time there's a trouble, a worry, a concern, a difficulty. Every time we weep, every time we're depressed. These words should be written at the gate of every cemetery. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. That's what Paul considers. That's what I consider. What do you consider? That's our theme. What do you consider? I know one thing I consider. I consider that this world is filled with suffering. There's no question about that. As a pastor, I'm privileged to share your sufferings. Privileged. I consider it a privilege. Last night, I sat by the bedside of Harry Richard, and he was breathing in such a way I knew that it would be his few last breaths. Last night, about 12:30, he was gathered into glory with our Lord. I've been with many dying people. I've been with people who their bodies are racked in pain. I've been with people, cried with families. I prayed with families that are falling apart. I've stood at the cemetery with members who are grieving, unconsolable. Suffering, yep. I've seen it. And you see the suffering too. How would you describe the suffering? Not just in your life, but in the world. And if we all let everybody share a little bit of what they think about suffering, we'd all have a story to tell because there's so much suffering in our lives and in the world around us. But it won't always be that way. We won't always have a story to tell about our pains, about our sufferings. All the sufferings of this age will end. John describes it this way, death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away. That's what John considers. That's what I consider. But what do you consider? Paul, what does he consider? He tells us, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. The sufferings in this world, just a small fraction, just a tiny portion, insignificant amount compared to the suffering of the history of the world. How much blood has been shed in the history of the world? Now think about it. How much pain, how many tears shed? How much death, mourning, crying, pain? No, we're victims of sin. We're victims of what sin has done to us. Sin. Sin's the problem. But are we really victims? The Bible says we're the sinners. Our own sin has brought this fallen world down upon us with all of its suffering, with all the struggles. The world is cursed, and we're victims of our own doing, victims of our own suffering. It's a sad story, but it's not a story without redemption, because Jesus comes into the world to become a victim too. But because of our sin, we're victims of all kinds of things. Maybe this world and its sin has victimized you. We're victims of abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse. We're victims of depression, discouragement. There's debilitating illnesses. We're victims of all kinds of addictions. Sexual addictions, drug addictions, alcohol addictions. We're victims of conflict, conflict in our homes, conflict in our community, conflict in our world. And let's be honest here. We're not simply innocent bystanders. We're not merely victims of other people's sin. Our sin has brought death and decay and destruction to the world. Our idolatries, our adulteries, our selfishness, our laziness. That's the fault. We don't keep God's first commandment, put Him first in all things. If we did, we'd endure through all our sufferings without blaming Him. If we put God first in all things, we'd endure through all our sufferings without grumbling, without complaining. If we kept the first commandment to put God first, we'd never worry. Unfortunately, we sin. We worry. We doubt. We struggle. And our sin is the cause of untold suffering in the lives of all the people around us. Yeah. We have to own up to that, right? We have to confess that. That's why all of our present sufferings should bother us so much. But we don't want to hear that it's our fault. No, we and the world would much rather hear that we're victims, that it's not our fault, that it's somebody else's fault, that we don't deserve this present suffering. It's much easier to complain about our suffering, to whine about it, that we're victims. It's much easier to point the finger and to blame God that we perceive it's His fault because He's not doing anything about it. That's the world's sinful perspective. That's not my perspective. It's not God's perspective. It's not what I consider. What do you consider? What does Paul consider? He tells us, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." You know sufferings? Yeah. Paul knew sufferings too, and we know a lot about Paul's life. Paul could have let all the sufferings in his life defeat him. He could have let all that pain drive him away from God. He didn't. And Paul has a long list of sufferings. 3 times, he says, "I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I've been in the deep. Journeys often. In perils." And he talks about his perils. "In perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Have you had to suffer for faith like that? Scripture tells us he was also kidnapped, arrested, interrogated, ridiculed, ignored, bitten by a viper, and then killed because he wouldn't stop telling people about Jesus. It's a lot of suffering. And yet Paul endured by faith. He had hope. Suffering didn't turn him away from the Lord. His suffering drew him nearer, closer. He didn't abandon his faith in the presence of trials. Some who are weak fall away because of trials. But Paul writes, I know that this will turn out to my deliverance through your prayer and by the supply of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is great gain. That's how Paul looks at suffering. How do you look at it? What do you consider? Or do you find yourself buried in suffering? Do you find yourself drowning in it? Is it defeating you, getting the best of you? Challenging your faith, causing you to question, causing you to doubt? Paul knew suffering. But he also knew our present sufferings are not worth comparing to with the glory that will one day be revealed in us. Our text this morning gives us that proper perspective of suffering. It gives us a different perspective. He shows us the big picture. And he writes, creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for that future day when God will resurrect his children. For on that day, the day of the resurrection, when Christ returns again, the thorns, the thistles, sin, death, and decay will all disappear. And the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin which God's children also enjoy. Your personal suffering, your private groanings, it's really just all part of a giant cosmic downward spiral. This world is a fallen world. This isn't heaven. It's broken. This world is under the curse of sin and the curse of death. No, this world isn't evolving. This universe isn't getting better. This world is devolving, decaying, and dying. That's what Paul considers. What do you consider? How should we deal with our present sufferings? By faith. Paul calls it hope. We wait eagerly for the adoption of sons. That's, of course, Christ's coming. We wait eagerly for our adoptions, for the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we're saved. You have sufferings? Yes. But you have hope. Hope in Christ Jesus. We live in this certain hope. We have this spiritual reality. Jesus is God. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus suffered and died. Jesus rose from my sins to free me. And He's coming again someday to free me. And we eagerly await that day. We eagerly wait for our adoption, the freeing of our bodies from sin. And we live in constant expectation. When is He coming? Is He coming today? Things are going to get better. And they're going to get better for all eternity. And not just better. Things are going to be perfect. Are you ready? There's hope in all that. And our present suffering will be followed by a future glory so surprisingly great, so incredibly magnificent, that the pain and suffering in this life can't even be compared. Are you ready? That's the perspective God gives you. What a wonderful perspective. You live by faith. And that hope that you have changes everything. There's a purpose to our present sufferings. There's a plan. And we suffer in this life the same way Jesus suffered. And we're proud to be able to suffer the way he suffered. We participate in Christ. We have something in common with Jesus. We suffer. That's why Paul wrote, we rejoice in our sufferings. Suffering in the life of a Christian isn't just bad luck. Suffering in the life of a Christian isn't because God's angry at you and punishing you for particular faults. No, we suffer because we're all broken. And the Holy Spirit uses our sufferings, uses your sufferings to turn you to God, to turn you back to Jesus, to give you hope. God uses your present suffering to plant faith, to plant that hope, that joy in your heart, that you will believe His Word, that you'll believe His promise, and that you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Because Paul writes, for in this hope we are saved. Your suffering has a purpose. Christ's suffering had a purpose. His suffering, His death, His resurrection, it was all for you. It had a purpose. A good purpose. Jesus endured all that suffering for one reason. You needed life. You needed to be part of the plan so that you wouldn't be gathered up as a weed and cast into the eternal fire. And so he gives you that hope along with all of his creation. The bodies of Christ and the body of the heavenly bodies, all will be restored. All will be made whole and new again. You know, God saved you so that one day he'll raise your body from the dead and you'll have a glorified body. It'll be your body. It'll be you with all your memories. Be your DNA. And we'll be raised to life, and the universe will too. The whole universe will get a new body. All free of sin. Free of the curse. For now, there's suffering. And Paul said that our present sufferings are like a woman who's giving birth to a child. A woman in childbirth. That's an image. With the panting and the pain. It isn't easy. But in the end, it's all worth it. Why? Because there's new life. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. That's what Paul considers. That's what I consider. What do you consider? Paul gives us these last words of advice. For in this hope we're saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes what he sees? Who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it. With patience. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.